Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 2nd of March, recording at 9:18 p.m. British Standard Time. Now, first, I trust you've had a chance to look at the website, and you'll see the two energy reports that I've posted there. Well, one's actually a PowerPoint presentation, and if you have the time and are interested in that sector, and I think really most investors are going to be very, very interested in that PowerPoint presentation, because although it focuses on supplies coming from Saudi Arabia, it's not your standard consensus piece by any means. I found it, as I said, exceptionally informative, and I also found it a bit alarming, and it caused me to think, right, I've really got to have a good energy fund as a core position in my self-administered pension funds. And, as I said on the website, fortuitously I'd been talking to Ian Little on this subject, and he's been doing a lot of research in the field, and this is his choice. And I'm not going to second guess Ian. I know him well enough to know how diligent he is and wise. So it's the Investor Global Strategy Fund Limited. I beg your pardon, that's the Investec. I'll say that again, the Investec Global Strategy Fund Limited. Now, the Bloomberg code for it, and it's a long one, so I'll repeat this. It's GUIGLEI space GU. Repeat it. GUIGLEIGU. Now, the Investec Global Strategy Fund Limited is described by Bloomberg as a global energy fund. It's an open-ended fund incorporated in Guernsey. The fund's objective is long-term capital growth. The fund invests in companies throughout the world involved in the exploration, production, and distribution of oil, gas, and other energy sources. Investments may also be made in companies which serve the energy industry. It's run by Tim Guinness, who's 55 years old. And you might recall that name when he was associated with Guinness Flight, but he's moved on from that and really concentrates solely on managing this fund for Investec, who give him very much a free hand, as from what I've heard. So that's the one that I'm certainly going to add to my portfolio relatively soon. Now, the other fund is something that I've mentioned before. This is the Merrill Lynch New Energy Technology PLC, which is an investment trust listed in London. That's code MNE space LN. The aim of the fund is to generate long-term capital growth for its shareholders by investing globally in companies which have a significant focus on alternative energy or energy technology. Now, some of you may recall, I bought that once before. I bought that last year because I looked at the chart and I thought, right, this is a terrific recovery situation. This is a glamour industry. I should have a stake here in a market that showed strong recovery potential at that time. Well, it went up a little bit, and I then thought I'd better do my research because this was a bit of an impulsive purchase. And I looked at the top 10 companies, I think, after I'd mentioned this fund to Peter Bennett, and he said, well, the trouble is these companies seldom make money. And I checked, and lo and behold, 8 out of 10 of their top shareholdings certainly did not make money. And the charts were a little bit indifferent as well, so I mentioned this on the audio and sold that position out myself. I mentioned it also in my Fuller Money hard copy, which I no longer produce, as you know. But the chart still looks quite reasonable. I know that some investors are going to be interested in this, and really the Dresner report on the renewable energy sector will tell you far more about it than I will know in terms of the companies that are listed there. But I think I'm probably going to give that one a miss in favor of the Investec Global Strategy Fund Limited, which has by far the better performance, as you know. Okay, what happened here in the markets today? Well, starting with equities, as I usually do, Asia was mostly steady. The big exception here was Hong Kong, down 1.35%, had a little upside failure yesterday, so it's sort of an arranging upward trend still overall. But this is the biggest decline we've seen in a while. So that may hold it up a little bit longer. Previous leader, Thailand, slight drifting in here today, but I noticed that Aberdeen New Thai fund that I'd been talking about, going back and picking up a little bit of that, once I could trade out one of my UK shares, which I haven't quite done yet, but I noticed that Aberdeen New Thai fund was up a bit in here today. Some of the Asian markets were very strong. Japan, a little bit further on the upside. That's overbought in the short term. But the Nikkei was up 90 points, 11,361. That's a new recovery high. Second section also had a new recovery high, and Topics, which didn't have similar strength or the equivalent strength yesterday, scraped out a new high in here. Scraped out's not fair. I closed right on the high of the day, and again, a new recovery high. I think it's quite likely we'll get a little bit of a consolidation here, but I'm kind of half hoping that because sentiment continues to improve towards Japan. And maybe we won't get a consolidation in here short term because the US dollar weakened. Just the opposite. The yen weakened. The US dollar was very strong in here today, but more on that in a moment. Now, Taiwan, that hit another new high today, and so did South Korea. And we had an upward dynamic for Jakarta, the Indonesian stock index, stock market index, which had been ranging in a bit of a consolidation. That had been one of the leaders last year, along with Thailand and India. India was closed today. Now, European markets were generally steady. They all had gains from barely changed FTSE up 3 points. That's the UK market. Best gain on the day looks like Stockholm, that was up 1.75%, but Switzerland was up over 1%, Amsterdam up over 1%, so is the DAX. So quite steady overall, although they may encounter a little bit of profit taking tomorrow. The Dow closed near the lows on the day, down 86 points. That's only 0.81% though. S&P, smaller decline, just over 0.5%, 0.6%, 686, and the NASDAQ down 0.88%, 18 points on the composite index. Could the dollar's rally have been a factor? Possibly, because some of the material shares were down on the day, some of those mining companies. Now, the currency, as I say, that was really the big story in here today, because the euro broke that little bit of support that I'd been talking about down in the sort of 1.23 to 1.23 1/4 level. Fell very sharply, closed not far off the low of the day, down 2.39 at 1.22.18, was down as low as 1.21.97. So that's quite a significant break on the charts. And if you've been listening to these audios, you know that the risk all along, ever since we got that quite aggressive jawboning when the euro was touching new highs, and the risk all along was that the initial downward dynamics that we saw, Kide reversals and so on, that would certainly unnerve the legions of dollar bears, all those people with the US dollar carry trade, and that a short squeeze was very much in the offing, and that if we saw that further erosion of support, which we have seen today, that would put further pressure on these dollar bears, so you can bet there are a fair number of them reassessing. And it's probably a good time to stand aside. I've said that before, but I'm not inclined to buy the dollar here for what is a contra-trend reaction, although I did say a couple of weeks ago that it was a tradable signal. And indeed, in our C2F2 service, they do have a long dollar short euro position out. But I'm happy to sit this one out myself. But I did say that the risks for all those people who'd been riding that dollar carry trade were really very high, that we would see there was a high risk that we would see a further bear squeeze on the dollar short positions. And that's still the case in here today. Looking at the charts, okay, some of these currencies are becoming a little bit oversold in the very short term, but that's not the most important factor in my view. And my feeling is that it's the downward dynamics, and as you've heard me say before, we'll have to see some quite clear upward dynamics, I think, to give an all-clear signal and get people moving back in and shorting the U.S. dollar once again. So I think we're going to have to wait for that. In other words, now, when I saw the euro break support and the dollar rally, and let me just round this out here in terms of where we are. We're up at 110.10 for dollar yen. I gave the euro level. Dollar Swissy, that's at 129.5. Sterling, that fell back to 183.96, down nearly 3 cents there. And that's pretty much it among the majors. Now, when I saw that, I thought, uh-oh, I'm really going to be stopped out of my metal positions, or I've been running those tight stops. Or, you know, I've been on the sidelines in copper, having taken the profit in that, and having taken the profit in my silver positions. But I have the tin, and I have the zinc, and I leveraged those up a bit again. I think, did I do that yesterday or on Friday? I think I did it yesterday. And I thought, right, I'm going to get stopped out of these positions. But lo and behold, the reactions were very small. Now, that doesn't mean that they couldn't get hit in here tomorrow, but the reactions on average in the industrial metals were quite a bit smaller than a number of the precious metals. Well, let me run through those precious metals. Gold is down 6.5. That's not too bad. It's at 393. Personally, I think gold's in an accumulation zone down here, but unless you really do want to have gold bullion, and a number of you I know do, that's not really the most exciting metal by any means. Now, I've just had my Bloomberg screen conk out, which is very interesting. So you're going to have to bear with me a moment while I'm going to log in again. So I'm going to go silent because I can't talk and log in at the same time. You have to forgive me for that. Or I dare not attempt to do that. Okay, screen's coming up, and I go back to these metal positions and a few other things here just on my other panel. Just bear with me a few more seconds here. Okay, so I mentioned that gold was down 6.5, 393. I think it's in an accumulation zone, but that it will be overshadowed on the upside by other metals. Ones that I would prefer, palladium. Now, that was down a couple of dollars in here today, 240. May get a little bit more profit-taking tomorrow because the platinum price had come back quite a bit, $30 to $8.75.5. And silver fell quite sharply. I think that was down about 20 and is currently after hours trading at 6.73. Now, I'd love to see a bigger correction in silver, but of course, if that takes place, well, the question will be, will it weigh further on the industrial metals? The one that fell the most, perhaps, looks like, and it wasn't all that much, was nickel. And nickel's been underperforming now for several months, having certainly dominated the upside move last year, and then become really quite overextended. But tin, for instance, which I own and I know some of you own, was actually closed up $20 on the day. It was the one metal that was up on the day. And zinc, that was only down $3 at 11:49. Tin closed at 69.90. The high of the day was 7,000. And the other declines, I say, were generally small. Copper pulled back a few cents on the that's a COMEX copper, about 137. The LME copper 3-month price was only down $28, bringing it back to $3,002. So these are very, very small gains, and what that's suggesting to me really is that where one of the main reasons for buying the precious metals that was cited by people was, of course, as a hedge against that declining dollar. And a lot of people were saying that they were only going up because of the declining dollar. Well, that's partially true, although if you look over the last several years, gold's up against all currencies. But certainly, the dollar was a very important factor in here, and it was also a factor, obviously, had to be helping industrial metals and some of the other commodities. But the big story here, the bigger story, is that tremendous demand coming from China. And as I've said before, we would expect to have a good demand for metals and a base metals bull market anytime there's a synchronized global economic recovery, such as we have right now. But the China story really does make it exceptional. And that doesn't mean that we can't have a number of speculators, such as myself, lose their nerve tomorrow. Well, I'm just going to stay with my stops. I'll leave the door open on the upside, and I continue to run quite tight stops in these markets. But so it doesn't mean that we couldn't see a big reaction tomorrow. But was noticeable in here today is that we had very small reactions, as I say, by these industrial metals. But the first time when we had a big key day reversal, it must have been about a fortnight ago, for the euro on the downside, that I'd commented on a lot. When that happened, we saw a number of key day reversals in the industrial metals, including tin. And it's unusual to have a signal like that that doesn't at least check the trend for the short term. And it really only checked the trend, I think, for 3 days, which hardly counts. And there was no follow through after that key. Enough said on all that. But while the dollar bear squeeze is on, and it is still on, there is a risk, as I say, that some of these other commodities will be hit. Now, one that was looking quite good earlier today, well, two of them actually, soybeans, where I have a position and that I had increased recently, along with my corn position, also increased recently. The soybeans had surged ahead earlier today. A report had come out on news wires from one house that was lowering its, or one report at any rate, where the writers were lowering their expectations for the Brazilian crop beyond what the U.S. Department of Agriculture had said. And this was because of too much rain in parts of Brazil and where soybeans are grown, and not enough rain in other parts. Well, so the May contract actually romped up to 976. I should have raised my stop, but I didn't. And then another report came out a weather report came out saying that up to an inch of rain had occurred in part of the regions affected by drought. See how tricky these agricultural commodities are because they are so susceptible to weather reports. But at any rate, that caused a big reaction, and we had a downside key day reversal in here today, and dropped down to, so from that high at 976, they fell all the way back to 926 and closed at 928 and a half. And I think my stop is right around the 920 level, so I'll be very lucky not to get stopped out of this here tomorrow. And it would be a surprise to see two. Well, this would be the second time I've been in something and seen a downside key reversal. I got away with it as far as the tin is was concerned when that happened. But I'd be very surprised if that stop didn't get hit. Similarly, we had a key on the corn, which is a little bit less overextended overall, but that had a high. This is May corn, had a high of 306 and a quarter, and closed at near the low of the day at 295 and three quarters. So that's the main story there, and actually those are the main stories overall. So I'll just bid you a good evening. Oh, no, one more thing I should mention is that the new website. Now I am planning to launch that tomorrow, and I've been sweating over the tutorials actually on this, and this is those of you who have worked with computer people might appreciate this little story. I'm not going to talk about the markets anymore, so if you've heard enough, by all means, sign off. But here's the story. Dr. Chris Martin, who has designed this website to my specifications, I said, "You're going to give me a tutorial for this, aren't you?" Now, well, I got a 10-page tutorial, and I had to go at that this morning. And I sort of bogged down halfway through the first page because it just didn't make any sense. So I got a long-standing colleague of mine, Rob Pedzinski, who works in the ID department, IT department. I got him in, and then Owen Tracy, who joined us from Bloomberg not long ago, who's working with me on this. They came in and basically drafted a one-page summary because I went through the process and I could see this wasn't all that bad. And so instead of my 10-page notes, where I wasn't getting anywhere with those, I've now have a very large typeface. Not that I needed it that, but it does fill a page. One-page summary of bullet points for updating the more complex website and getting my audio up on it. As well. So, all things being equal, and with a little luck and a song and a prayer, as they say, and that new site will be up and running tomorrow evening. All the best.